the school board day when we were so much of what went on, the children, and we all came with clean clothes and well-dressed and well-fed and well-taken care of and happy and healthy, and so much of that goes back to a fantastic job by the mothers here. The prayers and support to your husband on the board, to your children day in and day out, those crazy Monday mornings when it seems like you're almost snowed under by lunches and laundry and sometimes even some lunatics. The effort put into healthy lunches, warm, clean clothes, and all the many other little details that get looked after that we can so easily take for granted. We thank you, mothers. And I think we would all agree with the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 18, where he says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." And this morning I did not prepare a sermon on Mother's Day. I kind of grappled with it. I had a message I was going to bring. And I know a year ago I brought one on the home, and I'd like to focus this morning on another aspect of that. And I had prepared to preach a message, and it goes back to that verse in Proverbs, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." And the act of finding a spouse, and I had prepared this before I knew there was going to be a brand new couple here this morning. So I figured I would go ahead with it, but it is a sermon that I did prepare and preach before. I was given it as a assignment, and it has a part to do with home and motherhood down the road. This choosing a life companion, next to choosing which kingdom we are going to be a part of, it is the second biggest choice we'll make in life often. Who we will spend the rest of our life with. So the title that I was given is Beauty and Purity in Godly Courtship. I do not have all the answers with this, and it is a topic that is not spoken of a lot in the Bible. There is some examples, but I would like to go back and look at some principles that guide us in life, but especially in this stage of life. So I'm speaking mostly to the youth or the younger set that is looking forward to it. And it is wonderful. It is a part of the plan. The opening verse I have is Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "But first and most importantly, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." Can I ask, why do we use that verse in a message like this? Godly courtship. It actually has everything to do with what we are looking at this morning. It is foundational to all the other aspects of our lives, and especially this one here, the foundation of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's what I would like to look at this morning. We are called to build our lives on this foundation, And I would like to look at, we are first here to serve in the kingdom work. Then courtship, marriage, and building a home are one of the blessings that are added to our lives. It says all these things will be added to you after we look after the first things. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that do all to the glory of God would include courtship in this phase of life. Now for a text, I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I would like to look at the original intention of God. Genesis chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 26 to 28. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then we'll skip down to chapter 2, beginning in verse 7 to verse 10. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now I'd like to just think about this garden for a moment and keep in mind the thought of courtship and what it is, the beauty of the beginning of a home. God was intentional in planting that garden, and the word garden comes from the Greek word paradisos, which has the thought of a walled enclosure or a walled garden, a sacred and protected place of beauty and order. Paradisos is where we get the English word paradise, and I would like to just think about the paradise of that garden, the walled enclosure, the guarded, the protected beauty that was there in God's original intent. He hand-planted that. Said he made it for man. He took man and he put him in that perfect place and he set him up to do everything right. And he was there to look after that place, to dress it and to keep it. If you can imagine the awesome beauty, the beautiful trees hanging with nutritious, delicious fruit and the tree of life, the rivers flowing through it. But God placed man in that garden alone. And it was for the purpose of maintaining his creation. He was there to serve his creator and his creation. And I would like to just keep that in focus as we look at courtship and marriage in the Christian home. Look at that beautiful walled garden, the place to protect. Now I'd like to move down to verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet. So this is man before the woman came on the scene. And I would like to just look at the responsibility of the man, and I'm going to be a little harder on the man this morning because that is the original. He was placed there first with the intent of God to dress and to keep it. And the word responsibility is what I would like to focus on here first. Man, number one, is responsible to maintain beauty and purity before courtship. Adam was given responsibility before Eve ever came on the scene. In looking at responsibility, when you become a man and put away childish things, like it says in 1 Corinthians, we begin to assume the responsibility for our lives and eventually the lives that God is going to entrust into our care. There is a part of that, becoming a man and putting away childish things, that as we grow in our Christian lives, in our responsibility, we should see some of that, those childish things fade away. Some of us, it takes longer than others. There's things we hang on to, and but thinking of responsibility, there is a growing responsibility with a maturing man that is essential, that needs to happen. When a young man seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it empowers him to fulfill his God-given responsibilities and the courage to face the challenges of life. Responsibilities from God bring accountability to God. And there are some examples of that. Thinking of young men in the Bible, we think of a young man like Daniel. And we know his story, we know what he went through, but when he was taken captive and he was offered a portion of the king's meat, and he was offered kind of the best that they had to offer, he sensed his responsibility that he had grown into as a boy that restrained him from partaking in that. He sensed his responsibility, and he stood up and he said, "I can't do this," in good conscience. And he not only said he can't do it in good conscience, he never did it, but he negotiated with Melzar, the prince, to give him healthy food that he was used to. And it's a good lesson to young men. The things you grow up with, the responsibilities, the convictions you are raised with, you are built with, how negotiable is that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over the same time period here, sense a responsibility when they alone stood and refused to worship an idol. They were the only three that we know of that stood up when all the others bowed down. And if you can imagine that scene, they knew good and well what it was spelled out for them, what was going to happen. And they were willing to go through that. They were solid in what they believed, and they stood for it. And it was not just a form, but it was an actual faith in the preserving power of God. And we know the rest of that story. Then there's the example of Joseph. And we know his story as well. He sensed his responsibility when he tore loose from the clutch of Pharaoh's wife. And when he said those words, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He had the strength to flee. These young men obviously sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. long before they had to deal with these dilemmas that they were in. And we see how that carried them through, the strength of their commitment, the belief in what they did, what they stood for, what they were taught. It carried them through some of the terrible things, we could say, that they had to go through. Young man, do you have the resolve, the depth of character, and the sense of responsibility to resist or flee in the face of temptation? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That was spoken to a young man, and we are responsible before God to guard the door of our heart, and it requires extreme care and diligence. I know things have changed over the years. The devil is no less subtle than he was back then. But he knows his time is shortening, and I think young men are the focus of his. He wants them defeated because he knows that so much hinges on the young man. How guarded are you on your computer or cell phone? If you're loose and your guard is down and you mess around, you will fall and you will fail in the face of temptation. The Bible says, "Can a man take a fire in his bosom and not be burned?" Guard your eyes and your heart with extreme diligence. How responsible and careful are you with the resources God has given you? Your time, your money, your talents, your relationships. Do you respect your parents, your mother, your sisters? Or are you just looking out for number one? What I can get? How can they serve me? How can what I have serve me? Instead, what can I give? How can I serve? How do you serve your mother, your sisters? It's a good indication of how you will serve your future wife. Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life? Is your faith producing good works? And I like that thought in Sunday school. Against the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. There is no limit to the extent you can produce the works of the fruit of the Spirit. James 2, verse 26 says, "For as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Practice what you believe. Seek first the kingdom of God. Are you expressing the spirit of meekness? Just read a verse in James chapter 3. Verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Are you weak? Are you showing out of your meekness of wisdom? Is there forethought in what you do and where you go and how you present yourself? Is your youthful strength directed and controlled and purposeful? Have you grown to be temperate? Or are you still chasing physical things for your own pleasure and indulging wherever you can? Temperance in a world like we live in, where the culture around us is saying we should indulge in absolutely everything there is that we can get our hands on. And it takes a tremendous amount of strength for a young man or for anybody to be temperate in today's society, to know when to just say no, when to hold back, even though you could, even though it may be right, and to hold back and to think through it before you just jump in. Realizing that the physical things that we have are not going to bring contentment. What about patience? Have you learned to wait well for God's will and for His perfect timing? Are we impatient? Are we chomping at the bit, thinking that we should be farther ahead than we are, or we should be? I know there's a drive, and that's all fine, but there's a place of contentment that we need to be in as a young man to understand that it is in God's perfect timing where the right thing happens. The fruits of the Spirit being evident in our lives are prerequisite to beauty and purity in courtship. Now I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 2 again, to our text. And we'll begin in verse 21. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. As a man, we are responsible to maintain the beauty and the purity. Number one, we are responsible to be a man. We are responsible to act like a man, to lead like a man, to work and to serve like a man as God intended, to be a giver and not a taker. We need to know what we believe and be secure in our identity. The culture of darkness around us is largely emasculated, young men. The twisted, effeminate push has left many young men ineffective and unsure where they fit. And it's alarming when you see that mindset begin to affect young men in the church as well. It's not just out there. I'd like to read a couple verses in Titus. Still speaking to the young man here. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 to 10 says, Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You just go down through that list as a young man, and you sense the responsibility that is there on our shoulders to be what it is calling us to be here. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit, you like men, be strong," or "act like men," it says. Be strong. Protect, serve, and lead the young lady at your side. That is what God placed you in the garden to do, to be intentional and not passive. Some advice from King David when he was on his deathbed in 1 Kings chapter 2. He was laying there and he was just about to die, and he had some words of wisdom for his son Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2, the first four verses says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Your strength of character, your integrity, and your diligence in your life are an integral part of the kingdom of God advancing. We cannot be stand by and stand back and let the older set be the only ones that make the decisions and weigh in on things. We cannot be passive. This is Stuart John Mills in the University of St. Andrews. He said this in his inaugural address. He said, let not anyone pacify his own conscience by the delusion that he can do no harm if he takes no part and forms no opinion. Bad men need nothing more to compass their ends than that good men should look on and do nothing. And I had to wonder there, look back at that scene in the garden there. Where was Adam when that happened? Why was Eve out there having a conversation with the serpent? Was it his passivity that gave Satan the opportunity to approach Eve and have a conversation with her? Where was the man that God put there to protect her and to guard her and to see too that that purity of that garden was kept? As a young man, we are ultimately responsible, but not solely responsible, to care for and to protect the beauty and purity of our courtship. That snake was in the garden back there, and he is still alive and creeping around today. All I'm saying is be careful. There is still a snake in the grass, and he wants nothing more than to destroy and contaminate all that is pure and holy, especially when it comes to morals and the possibility of another godly home in the making. He will slither in wherever he can, and he'll dangle the delicious fruit, the forbidden fruit of a physical and moral relationship. That is a temptation of every young man. The devil knows that his time is short, and also that strong Christian men and women come together to build strong Christian homes which make up strong Christian churches that have a massive impact on his program. And they change the world for good, and he's not sitting by idly. The institution of marriage and the home, he would like to nip it in the bud long before it matures. So just beware. In this story, it was, I'm going to say, largely Adam's fault. But it was not only Adam's fault. The young ladies have responsibility as well in the beauty and the purity of courtship. Just be careful how you present yourself, how you dress. How you present yourself to the young man at your side. One thing in courtship we cannot forget is you do not own him and he does not own you. A few verses in 1 Timothy. First Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. For the young ladies here, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with embroidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Just be who you are. Be authentic. The young man that is attracted to just and only physical beauty is shallow. That is a huge part of it. There is a natural attraction that way. Just be careful. And then I would like to read a couple verses back in Genesis again. Genesis chapter 24. And this is one of the only examples. It's Isaac and Rebecca. Genesis chapter 24, verse 63 to 65. It says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." And if you can think about that, what Isaac was doing there, he went out and he was meditating in the field. I'm sure he knew what was coming, but it was still out there. He didn't understand, he didn't realize what all was happening. And then you see them coming, and Rebecca coming from the other way, seen and understood what was happening and the purpose of her coming, and she took and she veiled herself. It's an act of submission and all this modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety. That's what Rebecca was doing when she covered herself. It was beautiful. It is okay to dress beautiful, but it is not okay to dress or act provocative. Just know that one of the greatest temptations for a young man is the forbidden fruit of a physical relationship. Do not be responsible for presenting that forbidden fruit to him like Eve did. All it did back there in the garden was bring instant shame and remorse and hardship, and they were driven from the garden. It is not the intent. We cannot enter into a physical relationship before marriage without the same results and scars, and we see that all around us. The culture says that's the first thing you do, is its physical attraction doesn't go beyond that, and we see the wrecks and the carnage that happen in the shallow relationships that don't last. A few verses in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Seek to acknowledge God in every step of the way. It can be so wonderful and so beautiful when it is done as God intended. We can pray together, read the word together, discuss and set boundaries early on in your relationship and respect those boundaries. Be open and transparent. Enjoy each other's company. Keep humor alive. Keep it good. You wade through the difficult things, but there's also the humor, and that's a big part of life and just enjoying life together. Remember that young lady or young man at your side may not be the one for you. Don't do or say anything that you will regret if it doesn't work out. God's timing, God's choice are perfect. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And I'd like to, in closing, just read a couple of verses out of Psalms chapter 32. Verse 8-10 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That's all I had this morning. Thanks for coming. May God bless.